Welcome to Strength for Today's Pastor, conversations with current senior pastors and leaders which will strengthen and help you in your pastoral ministry. And now, here's your host, Bill Holdridge of Poimen Ministries.
Welcome to podcast number 88. Glad to have you with us today. We're going to be talking with Brian Newberry specifically about some of the issues related to leading a church as a senior pastor. Pastor Brian has coached and mentored many pastors throughout his ministry and has helped many improve their serve in the area of leadership. And as many of you know, Brian was the founding pastor of Calvary Chapel San Diego, where he served for 33 years with his wife, Cheryl. And now he's serving as the new senior pastor of Calvary Chapel in Los Alamitos, California, as well as with Poimen Ministries. So Brian, it's always good to have you on the program. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Bill.
You are so welcome. So, Brian, I often think about church leadership and its related issues. I think about it a lot. Every day I think about it to some degree. And I've been surprised at how much pastors sometimes have resisted being proactive in their leadership approach. So what do you think keeps pastors today from focusing on leadership for the purpose of equipping and discipling the church?
Well, I think we had a unique thing in Calvary Chapel, and basically in the midst of the Jesus revival, you could put up your Calvary Chapel shingle and you would have people come, and then people would keep coming, and they would often try to find a Calvary Chapel in their area, and people would travel for an hour to find a Calvary Chapel. So God was really working through the verse-by-verse teaching. But either directly or indirectly, we simply told pastors we don't need to be a typical traditional pastor. All we do is teach verse by verse accurately, and everything else will happen by the Spirit of God without any effort. And that's exactly what did happen for a good 10, 20 years of the Calvary Chapel movement. But then that wave ended. And part of it ended, and as we're heading into a post-Christian era where the college kids, after graduating from high school, went to college or didn't, either way, they didn't remain in church, or at least not in the church they grew up in. And so slowly the church was in decline. And in Calvary Chapels, not so much. We were, but not so much like the traditional churches. And what's happened in the last several years, and why I'm getting contacted by pastors around the nation saying, man, our church was 200 and then went to 80 and now we're down to 40 or 60 and the doors are going to close if it keeps going at this rate in a few months. What do I do? And they basically said, you know, I'm doing the same thing I was doing 10 years ago or 15 years ago, and we are having the opposite of success. And the people that are going to church here are all lethargic. And it's, I don't know why.
So they just are giving up on the idea of pursuing anything different, and they haven't learned what discipleship looks like as a pastor. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes. I think that they don't know basic leadership. And so they haven't had to be a leader as a pastor. As a matter of fact, many senior pastors of larger churches have been sort of very bad leaders. And still the church is blessed and grows because, you know, as a personality on the stage and what he's doing, you know, in the visible part of the church is more than sufficient. And there's simply a lot of leadership skills they don't even know. And then also I think a lot of bad characteristics that senior pastors in Calvary Chapels have that shouldn't exist at all have developed, which is hurting the church spiritually and in administration and in growth of the body.
Mm-hmm. Well, the pastor teacher's role biblically, according to Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. So what you're saying is that if you just put up your shingle and teach the Bible, which is a good thing to do, of course, that's not the only thing that is going to be the equipping means that you use to equip saints for ministry. Leadership is involved as well.
Exactly. And that is what we believed, whether we were told it directly or whether we, that was it. So pastors just work on studying the scriptures and teach good Bible studies. And the more dynamic they are, or the more great the Bible studies are, the church will be 100 people or 1,000 people, depending on, you know, how great of they are in the pulpit. And if there's any correction that needs to be done, it needs to be on homily, on how you give your sermon, how long it is, how much content is in it. Too much content, that's for the Bible college. Lessen up, be a little more devotional. You know, I think they've played around with that for 10 years, and that formula still didn't change the paradigm that the church was shrinking and going in the wrong direction.
So, there are obvious problems with pastoral leadership, or the lack thereof, or misunderstandings about what it looks like and what the role of the senior pastor may be even. There may be misunderstandings about that. And I know you've heard and learned a lot about all of these things over the years. You've heard a lot from pastors. What do you think the number one challenge or problem with pastoral leadership is today, in your view, right now?
Yes. Well, within the Calvary chapels, they just don't know leadership 101. Now, they've read the spiritual leadership books, and they got the Jesus style down and being a servant leader and that kind of stuff, which is wonderful. But there is just simple, basic leadership skills. You know, in many cases where I have a marriage that's sort of going in the wrong direction, and the man doesn't know how to be a leader in his own home, just a straight up leader, but then also he needs to be a spiritual leader also. And so what I'm having to find is to say to these guys, we just need to look at leadership 101. What is a leader? How do you lead? And they know how to be a good pastor and a disciplined guy in their studies and preparing and so forth. But then they just sort of say to somebody, magically know how to run the Sunday school, magically know how to run a youth group, magically know how to run a worship ministry. And sometimes you get a leader in there and he's leading it, and it's like, yeah, it's all working out great. And then all of a sudden it's not working out great. And so it comes back to the pastor learning how to lead, and that he needs to get a group of guys and begin to train them in leadership, begin to train them in discipleship, and then help them to understand. So basically what I'm doing is having to go back and just teach basic leadership.
So what does that look like, Brian? What is leadership 101, and what's leadership 201 and 301 and so on?
A good point. It sort of depends on who you listen to out there, because, you know, you have a lot of different groups that's what they do. And some of them are ex-senior pastors. And so, you know, you have the Maxwell Leadership Training Group. You have the Andy Stanley leadership stuff. And there's a lot of common denominators in those kind of things. So there's really good information out there. But I do think there are certain attitudes that work in the world leadership that would not work in the church. And so I just say, even working with these quote unquote Christian groups, they need to be discerning, but that's not a bad start. And so just to simply get a book by one of these type of guys on, you know, the very first book on intro to leadership, and start going through what is a leader. And a leader is a guy who has a vision, and that's a pattern we can help them work to come to understand what is the vision that they have. And then now, do you understand what you do with that vision? And now you need to start imparting that vision to a group of men, and they need to be discipled, and they need to be grown up spiritually and understanding what leadership is. And though, so once you have a clear vision, then you can simply ask the question, what is it we need to do to reach that goal or reach that vision? What are our values? And it's amazing that once the leaders know what their values are, they do it. But so often the pastor's like, yeah, they're showing up late and they're not getting here on time and they don't even bring their own Bible. And, they're always complaining about their leaders. But the fact is they've been saying they should already know or they should already get it. They're leaders. I shouldn't have to train them. No, you got to train them. And if you haven't been doing that on an ongoing basis. So when I had to learn all this the hard way. I'd made every mistake in the book over 33 years of San Diego. But, I had a Monday night meeting almost every Monday night throughout the year. We took summers off and Decembers off. But we went through many, many, many books. We would just read a book with a group of guys for the last 15, 20 years. It was about 70 guys. But there was a time where it was just one guy for the first several months. And then there was three guys. And we would just read through a lot of books and discuss them. And then that would become a part of what we're doing. But once you depart that to this group of guys, now you help them to impart that vision to their various spheres of influence, their various ministries, to the church. And then you come up with the values. What do I need to do? And in this case, with our vision here at Calvary Chapel Los Alamitos, is the vision is that we all one-on-one lead people to Christ and disciple them. And so what is church then? Is church even important? You know what? Sunday morning church is not the most important thing at Calvary Chapel Los Alamitos. People coming, it's not the most important thing to me. And they understand in the vision of our church, what is the most important thing? And that isn't it. So if they come Sunday morning with their attendance and they hang out and talk a little while, they did not accomplish 90% of what they need to do as a Christian. Sunday morning services is maybe 5, 10% of what we do as a Christian. I think it's important. I think it's important that they hear Sunday morning message is sort of the vision carrying time, the family time that we continue to stay on the same page and grow together. So it's important. But of course, they can get that by listening to it streaming. They could get that by listening to it as they drive to work, off the app or whatever. So, this is what are the values? And one of our top values is prayer and prayer meetings. And so somebody in our church, and I've only been here a couple of months here, but it's beginning to see that, hey, I may not make it Sunday morning, but I do make the Friday night prayer meeting. And because as we're heading towards our vision, it's about me personally being a witness. It's about me leading people to Christ. It's about me discipling people that I lead to Christ. And I need the power. I need God's Spirit. So all of a sudden, what's important starts showing up in the values. So individually seeking God every day is essential for us to reach our vision. And so it's not just coming Sunday morning early to help set up chairs and stay afterwards and pray for a couple of people and then go on your way and don't think about church too much until you get back next Sunday. It's a different paradigm.
Yeah. So not making Sunday morning the end-all and the do-all of a church is a major philosophical statement and a major vision and value statement about that particular church. What that tells me is that the focus isn't on the Sunday morning thing and whatever that produces, but the focus is on the people and who they are and how we can help develop each other into the disciples that Jesus has called us to be.
Exactly, exactly. And that is success, that they would be a light and a salt to the earth, and they would know how to share their faith, and then they will know what to do with this fish after they caught it. They know how to disciple and take them through a Christian Foundation class, take them through the Gospel of John. And it's not one of our values that they end up in our church. I don't want them to share our church. I want them to just keep the focus on Jesus and then grow in the Bible, period. And if they say, hey, I want to follow my discipler to where he worships, so be it. I think that's a natural outflow. Mm-hmm. But they're going to have to initiate that conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't want our guys to initiate that conversation. Yeah. Hey, why don't you come to church?
Right.
I think at this point in our culture, it's going to make it look like we're peddling something.
Yeah.
So we're selling something. What we're really trying to sell is getting more people in our church. That is not our goal.
Right. And for the pastor and for the leaders, that if their goal, if their thing is the Sunday morning deal, and the church program even as a whole, the goal is to improve the church program so more people will come to our church. If that's the goal, then developing people for meeting that goal, to me, feels manipulative, because I'm actually manipulating people into being part of something that I have invented or I have, you know, become convinced is important, and it may not be the most important thing. In fact, it isn't really the most important thing. So where we have is our treasure, that's where our heart will always be. So if my treasure is to inflate Sunday morning, or my treasure is to have the church grow, or to do this or that, or to have our church known for this thing, then the people that I recruit to be part of that with me, they're going to have to buy in. But it's much easier to buy into what you're talking about, in my opinion, Brian, because you're just saying, let's buy into living the life as a Christian. Let's buy into being relational with this gospel that we love and believe in, and let's be relational about sharing it and helping others grow in it.
Exactly. What's happening, though, in this paradigm is where when we do lead somebody to Christ, or we do have a friend of ours start coming to church, we then consciously or subconsciously tell them 99% of what Christianity is about is you attending church, singing some songs, hearing a sermon. And if you want to do the extra couple of percents, get involved with a women's Bible study or men's Bible study, or you know, go every 3 years on our missions trip or whatever. And it's, again, all focused on the church and focused on our programs. And I do not think that's what Jesus built. And so we can look at like the Catholic Church, who believe they are doing exactly the legacy that Jesus left. And we're saying that legacy is not in the Bible. It's opposite of the nature of Jesus in many ways. And I would say now we need to get outside our tunnel, get outside the bubble that we're in, and look at us and say, did Jesus leave this? When Jesus was dying on the cross, and he said, when Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, what he did with the apostles, does it look like Calvary Chapel? And I think we immediately say yes. But when you start to say, kids ministry, no. Youth ministry, no. Singing a bunch of songs with the band, no. Having a stage, no. Having a church building, no. You just start going through the list of the things that we stress about and put energy in and throw money at. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying it's extra biblical. I'm just saying it's not in the Bible, though. It's not unbiblical. It's just not in the Bible. But yet, if you ask me, is it in the Bible that we would go into all the world and be lights and salt and make disciples, people who would hear it, and then they would speak it to somebody else, hear it and then speak it? That is there. And Sunday morning church is not a replacement for going into all the world and making disciples.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, it's time to take a quick 20-second break. You're listening to a conversation with Pastor Brian Newberry on the subject of helping pastors become better leaders. We've talked about vision. We've talked about values. So please hang in there, because we're going to be right back.
You've been listening to Strength for Today's Pastor. Poimen Ministries appreciates your participation and prayers. If you'd like to help financially support this podcast, you can go to our website at poimenministries.com/donate. Thank you.
So I think that's helpful, Brian. you know, just talking about values, talking about vision, talking about biblical vision versus cultural vision, biblical expectations versus secular or traditional expectations, comparing what Jesus came to build with what we often try to build. And I think that's all very helpful in terms of developing leaders, because if a leader doesn't know where he or she is going, they'll never get to the right destination. So you, when you and I were talking the other day, you started talking about the layers of learning leadership that pastors have to go through nowadays. What are some of those layers of leadership that pastors have to go through in these present days in order to become more along the lines of what the biblical pattern for a leader is?
Well, it's a lot. I mean, the guys I've been working with, I'm finding I have to roll it out very slowly, because it's not just knowing it, it's really practicing it and doing it and helping them develop it. And it is a skill. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. And so to throw five things at them at once and then they don't do any of them well will not help them be a leader. And so the one thing I tell leaders up front, the number one job of the pastor, of the top leader, is to be a communicator. You are the communicator. And they're like, yeah, we communicate the Bible. And that's absolutely right. And you teaching the Bible on Sunday morning is not the vision of the church. That is a value. That's a value you hold in leadership, that whoever is a pastor would have that ability to know the whole Bible, which is unique to us in Calvary Chapel. Because I've been in a, grew up in a denomination. I'm telling you, denominational pastors don't know the Bible. They went to theology, they got their doctorate in theology, but they still don't know the Bible. So it's really a wonderful, wonderful thing that really makes us powerful, makes us solid, makes a strong church where people can grow their kids and live out their life in that church. So that's wonderful. But that is not our vision. Our vision is that people would come to love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love their neighbor as their self. So just teaching the Bible is not going to get there. And then also, I think each pastor has a unique vision. There is a special little flavor that God's given them. There's a special calling for them to reach their sphere of influence, whether it's their area or their county or whatever it is. Their unique flavor as a church is what the Lord has. And they got to know what that is, and they need to have that vision written down. Then they got to start communicating. They've got to communicate to their leaders. So how do you have a leadership meeting? What do you do when you get a bunch of leaders together? What do you do? How you do it? This, again, takes content and takes time, and it has seasons. And you've got to, one of the main pastor's jobs is constantly being ahead of the next pastor's season of discipleship season of the leaders. So what book do I go into next? Well, what's God doing in the church? What's the Lord speaking? Well, Lord spoke to start Revelation. Then it sounds to me like you guys are going to be reading some books on end times. What are we going into? We're going into Nehemiah. Well, then grab some books on Nehemiah. And this is great. It's a season on leadership and how to grow in leadership and leadership in the home and leadership in the church and so forth. So, to find the right book, to find the right time, you know, how long you're going to go through that. Are you going to have a retreat with the leaders at the end of that and get away and have a special speaker come? That's only the senior pastor can do that. That you don't want to hand that off to assistant pastor saying, hey, figure out how we're going to disciple the leaders next. This is your job. And it's relentless because it's year after year after year after year. And I went through a list a while back, somebody said, and I had, just on the top of my head, 35 books I had been through with our leaders over the last 5 years or whatever it was. It was amazing how much we had gone through and accomplished. So you're a communicator. So you got to have a vision for the church. You got to have a vision now for how you're going to disciple your leaders. And that vision has to include how they're going to communicate and how they're going to disciple their groups. So if I'm going through a season on end times, I would like to see the leaders do that in the men's study as well, in the youth study as well, in the kids ministry as well, that the whole church goes through this season that God's taking us through, and it's done well. And so what is now, how's this going to look in a schedule? So now we got to put this together in a calendar, and to have a year calendar planned tentatively, you know, now you can do more quality things. You can, the whole church can say, we're going to go through Revelation at the end of 6 months. We're going to be done. We're doing this in home fellowships. We're doing this with the men's ministry, women's ministry, youth ministry. And at the end of that time, we're doing a 6-week series and inviting the whole community. We're going to put $10,000 into advertising, and we're going to do it at a convention center, and we're going to have a prophecy update for 5 days at, you know, and everybody's been learning it, and they all see the 6-month vision out there of how this season's going to end and how this is going to work. And so again, I think pastors are just like, well, I'm teaching verse by verse. Oh, I'm getting close to the last chapter. What book am I going to go into next? I don't know. I'll think about it. And oh, we're going to go into this book. And everybody got the information, but nobody's being led. The pastor's not being a leader. There's not what then shall we do? And so as a whole body, okay, so if I were the director of a company and I said, we're going to start making this or selling this, it's going to go all the way. I've got to talk to the top guys. I got to do the research on the finances. I got to figure out how to redo the factory. So I got to talk to engineers and, you know, how all the employees are going to have to get retrained. And this is a big part of it. You know, you sort of got to do a retraining each season you go into before you go into that season. You want the leaders trained before the season comes. Mm-hmm. And so my training has to happen 6 months in advance or 4 months in advance, but I got to plan it a year in advance. So now as a leader, you are looking at it. You're always a year ahead of time and seeking God on that theme, on that season and what God's doing. And so when I talk to pastors about this, if I just spilled it out like I'm doing with you right now, most of them would feel like, oh my gosh, I quit. I signed up just to teach verse by verse of the Bible. I didn't know I had to do all this work.
Right.
It's like learning a foreign language. Yeah.
Well, I hear you. I mean, I would probably, if I'm going to be honest, most of my ministry as a pastor for a long time in Monterey was basically disseminating information. I was with the people. I did disciple men and all those kinds of things. But as far as communicating vision, like you're talking about, and building a body-wide, this is what we're going to do with this, and this is how this is going to look for the next 6 months or a year. I never did that. So that's an encouraging and thought-provoking idea. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit now, Brian, and talk a little bit about the subject of delegation. You had some great things to say about delegation the other day, the need for delegation, the how-to of delegation. And you specifically mentioned that a pastor has to delegate differently with a staff member who's an employee versus how he does delegation with a non-staff, non-paid volunteer. So maybe you could comment on the difference between the two and the importance of delegation.
Yeah, so there's many steps I take in training a pastor on how to be a leader, and this is just one of those areas. You know, if the pastor has staff people full-time, they are not understanding how to communicate a delegation. And most people that have been untrained in the art of delegation just sort of dump it on people. It's sort of like, hey, put the next men's retreat together, blah. And then a month before the retreat, they're like, hey, where are we meeting? What's the theme? Who's the speaker? What's going on? You know, oh, I didn't know. I just thought you wanted me to get a place. I didn't know. I need, oh, let me throw an agenda together. Let me go try to see if anybody can make it, you know, and the pastor's like, oh my God, these leaders stink around here. Should have never hired that guy, you know, and it's like trying to explain to the pastor, no. You were a bad leader. That's why you are having bad leadership. And so, you know, and again, this is just common knowledge type stuff that you would learn in the business world, I guess, if you were there, or if you, again, were tired of everything crashing and burning, or you're always having to rescue everything at the last moment, or you have to stress, I delegated something, but I'm completely stressed about it because I don't know if they're really going to be able to do it right. And, you know, so yeah, you can get it right every time. So first of all, you got to know what you're delegating. What am I delegating? So if you're delegating, let's say, a men's retreat, I need to write out every aspect of what a men's retreat takes, from agenda to speakers to food to what kind of place, how big of a place, how small of a place, when it would happen, what time of year it might happen. You know, you've got to communicate clearly A to Z what it is you're delegating. And if you just simply say, oh, a men's retreat, that there can be a million infinite different thoughts on that, you know? So they go get a place, ask 50 people, and you're like, dude, we have 150 guys every time. What, this is going to work? And we only have a month left, you know? These kind of things happen. So you got to lay it out. And then the next thing you do is, after you clearly communicate it, you have to know how to ask the right questions. I tell leaders, the number one job of a leader is a communicator. The next thing is, the more and the better questions you can ask, the better leader you will become. So now you just simply have to ask the right questions. Is it clear what I'm asking you to do? Is there anything I don't have on this list that you have a question about? Is there anything in your mind that might keep you from being able to do this? Do you think you have the sufficient training to do this? Do you need help? And what areas on this list do you need help? I'm just throwing this out from the top of my mind. The better questions you ask. And then the next thing you want to do is, you want to have scheduled at that time checkups. So by next Tuesday, I would like you to give me a list of what places are available and when. And so next Thursday, we have a 5-minute meeting, 10-minute meeting. It's in the staff meeting. He's going to have that printed out. I want that emailed ahead of time, and then we're going to go over it. And then you might say, between now and the next 6 months, every Thursday for 10 minutes, we're meeting. This week it'll be on the place. The next time it'll be on possible themes, speakers. I want you to give me a possible agenda. And then I want you to keep all this information for the future retreat. And then after you have a meeting, every time you have a meeting, you ask that staff person to email you everything you covered. So I expect that guy to email me, and I tell him when. I say by 3 o'clock today, or by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, or by 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, I want an email from you covering everything we have. And then I read it and say, oh, no, I saw this line. You said this. No, that's not what I said. I said this, not that. And you can correct it. So that's if it's a staff person. If you're dealing with a volunteer, you're the one who has to send the email. Hey, today in our meeting, these are the things we covered. Would you read that and email me back that you agree this is what we said? Or is there any changes? Email me back. But let me know you got this, you read this email, and we're good to meet the following Thursday or whatever. Those are just little things along the way. I mean, it's one of many things.
Well, it's so important, Brian, as you know, because the pastor who does not delegate, or who delegates poorly, if he doesn't delegate at all, then it all falls on him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's untenable. If he delegates poorly, then the frustration that you referred to earlier takes place inevitably, and not just in him as the pastor, but in the person to whom he's delegating this thing. They're frustrated as well. So you're talking about, back to the communication thing, leadership and delegation has a lot to do with communication. So the leader who delegates has got to have a clear view of what it is he wants this person to do, and he's got to have a clear way of communicating it with the follow-through Tell me what you've heard and give me progress reports from time to time as to how you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, oh, I am a good communicator. I preach really well. Okay, that's one type of leader. That's one type of communication.
Yeah.
But now if you're communicating a delegation, that's there's a lot of work as a leader to be a good, you know, a lot of work on you. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of work to maintain the lines of communication all the way through it so you have the result you want. Mm-hmm. But then the next time you do a men's retreat, you know, after the retreat, you do a postpartum to say what we liked, what we didn't like, you know, write that down. So we have the paperwork for the next retreat. So the next retreat, it's there's a lot less communication on my part that has to be done.
Yeah, that's good.
But I still want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, but what happens is a pastor often is just dumping things on people.
Yeah.
And, you know, 4 months into it, they feel like a failure. And yuck, I'm out of here. Don't ask me to do anything else. Or I'm leaving the church because I'm so mad about it.
Right.
I
remember having a staff guy. He was going to build a fence, a long fence on our property. And I knew what was going to happen. It was going to be Dave and Sal out there for 2 hours, three times a week for 6 months, and the fence would finally be built. And I said, that's not going to work. So here's what you need to do. And so I gave him an explanation of how to delegate this whole thing. And he set it up. He worked hard. He spent the better part of a week organizing this whole thing. And he had everything ready on a Saturday morning. He had the carpenters and the skilled people coming. And they threw that whole fence up in the morning. And then we gave him a pizza lunch and Cokes and stuff. And they were just really happy. It was good fellowship. But just a little planning and a little foresight and a little organization ahead of time saved him a lot of work and got the job done, and everybody got to be involved, and they were really happy being able to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And see, that's another amazing point is why do you delegate?
Yeah.
Is because the more people that are a part of it, they grow in their leadership, but they also all are a part of it. They all buy in, so they all feel the responsibility to make this thing great.
Yeah.
So if this guy who's doing the retreat can help have five guys help him, those are all five guys that feel responsible to make this thing a success.
Right.
And then when it's over, they all feel like, God used me. Yeah.
Right. Oftentimes, the only part that somebody feels like they play in a church is putting money in the basket and attending the church, and maybe every once in a while, you know, building widgets on the assembly line for an hour a week, you know, and that's about it. They're not vested. They're not buying in. Well, that's really interesting. These are helpful things to say, Brian, that you've shared, and I appreciate that. So just a question to you. Are you still open for business to coach pastors on leadership, or is your schedule too full, or you want to wait for another 6 months to see things clear out a bit? Maybe you could help me understand just how open you are right now. I know you're busy.
Yeah, you know, I have about six guys I'm working with now, and I have a few guys waiting in the wings, and they've been waiting longer than I wanted them to wait. I think what's going to have to happen is we're going to have a Poimen leadership retreat and get together with all the guys and break it into pieces and just to try to cover these things in a retreat. And then maybe on a Zoom meeting, I could get the guys who would want after that retreat to have a 2-hour meeting once a week.
Okay.
Something like that I could do,
but
to work one-on-one, I don't have the time right now
for
anybody else.
Okay. Well, let's do that. Let's for sure do that. This is the first official announcement of something that is going to be taking shape in the future. We're going to do a leadership retreat for pastors only, senior pastors only, and it'll be at a place that will be determined, and there'll be some follow-up afterwards. That's great. So, Brian, as we wrap up today's podcast, it's now your opportunity. Just, you know, go ahead and share any word of wisdom on this subject that you'd like to share with senior pastors with regard to leadership. You got a couple of minutes. Anything that's on your heart, they're all yours. Go for it.
You know, the pastors that I have worked with on leadership, they without fail are doing 100% better, and they will all tell you that. A big part of the reason is there was just so much clouds to try to know what to do. And the clouds are peeled away, the sun's shining. They know now what to do. They have a clear A to Z plan how to lead the church in this vision. They understand they're the communicator. They've got their all the communication falls on them to make that clear. All lines of communication. They know how to communicate, when to communicate, where to communicate. They're raising up their leaders. They understand the importance of discipling these guys to become leaders, a lot of them, or if they are leaders, to really learn how to lead. And those guys now are feeling like, wow, I want to start a men's Bible study, or I want to help in the kids, because they know how to do it now. It's not just showing up and feeling like a failure, or feeling like, well, I did this, I could, that's the best I can do. And it becomes unfulfilling pretty quick, or it has in the past been unfulfilling because they really didn't know how to lead this thing. And so I would just encourage them right now just to start in the trek of learning how to be a leader. And if they have any questions along the way, they can go to, like you said, my website, or get my app, type in the app store, Brian Newberry, and send me an email and their information. I'll try to call them and talk to them a little bit. But yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting to pastor again with a new, fresh wind at your back with clarity.
With clarity. That's great. Well, Pastor Brian's teachings are available at briannewberry.org. His email address is brianccsd@gmail.com. That's briannccsd@gmail.com. So feel free to reach out and email him and check out the resources on the website. And we'll take it from there. And keep your ears peeled for that leadership conference that'll be coming up. So, Brian, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate having you again on Strength Through Today's Pastor.
Thank you, Bill. God bless you.
Yeah, you too. So we always enjoy your feedback with regard to these episodes. So please email us with suggestions, feedback, comments, whatever, at strongerpastors@gmail.com. Our website is poimenministries.com. That's P-O-I-M-E-N ministries.com. You can check out how we could be of service to you as churches to help your church be stronger. And then from the staff, pastors, and board of directors here at Poimen Ministries, we want to just wish God's very best upon you, his vision, his values in your heart and life and ministry, in Jesus' name. So long until next week.
Strength for Today's Pastor is sponsored by Poimen Ministries. You can find us at poimenministries.com. That's spelled P-O-I-M-E-N ministries.com. If something in today's program prompts a question or comment, or if you have a topic idea for a future episode, just shoot us an email at strongerpastors@gmail.com. That's strongerpastors@gmail.com. May the Lord bless you as you serve Him, His pastors, and His church.